King David declared in Psalm 19:7 that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This entire chapter, in fact, is devoted to both general and special revelation. And King David makes a point in verse 8 about God's word being sure because it's trustworthy. And it's trustworthy because it corresponds to reality. In other words, God's word speaks with razor sharpness concerning our common human condition and provides the same clarity when it comes to what remedy he has provided for us. Well, we're going to talk about that and much more in this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio when I talk with Pastor Randy White. Stay tuned.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, folks. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. You can find us on Global Star Radio Network, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're on Worldview Weekend Radio. You can check the schedule there. And we're on a lot of other platforms, including SoaringEagleRadio.com, where you can listen to every episode there. My guest today is Pastor Randy White. He is the pastor of Teos First Baptist Church. He's the author of three books, The Antichrist, The Three Statements of Thomas, and The Faith of Benjamin Franklin, and is working on several other projects that I hope we'll chat about today. Now, Dr. White has a Bachelor of Business Administration degree, a Master's of Divinity with Biblical Languages, and a Doctor of Ministry degree. And I especially am looking forward to our chat about dispensational theology and the dispensational publishing house that Dr. White launched in 2015. Welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio, Pastor Randy.
And thank you, Pastor Mike, and I'm just delighted to be with your Soaring Eagle audience.
Yes, well, we were chatting before we went on the air, folks. We've been talking about having a conversation, having Pastor Randy on to talk about a whole range of things for at least a year, and it's probably been a little more than that. Just a little background. I'm familiar with Pastor Randy through our radio station, WTTP-FM, here in Lima. Pastor Randy does an internet program now called Ask the Theologian. Ask the Theologian. So if those of you are out here have listened to WTTP-FM for any length of time, you might recall Pastor Randy being on the air. And good news, we're chatting about maybe making that happen again. So that would be wonderful. So Pastor Randy, you are the pastor of Teos First Baptist Church. Am I pronouncing that right, by the way?
It's actually Taos. It rhymes with house.
Taos. Okay, Taos. Well, here's one thing that I love about that, Pastor Randy, is that you are actually a pastor, an author, and a theologian. And I think that that's something that being the theological hat, being the theologian, I think that's one thing that's sorely lacking in the church today is that the Word of God is not really studied and delved into and then taught with the fullness that it can be, because, and it could be a number of reasons. I certainly don't mean to criticize pastors, but I think that the Word of God, there's so much richness and fullness there that's not being mined and presented to God's people. Do you think maybe, in your opinion, is that one reason for some of the issues we see in the church today?
I would just have to say amen 1,000 times. I have said over and over that I long for a day when there is a pastor theologian in every town and every community, because pastors have unfortunately left really the verse-by-verse exegetical Bible teaching, and in leaving that, they're unable to put together a theology, and so the doctrines and theology they have often are hand-me-downs from their seminary, perhaps, and then they get perverted over time because the pastor just wasn't strong enough in the Word. And it's sad that if you look at pastors' conferences today, I think you'd probably agree with me, what you see is there's lots of conferences on church growth and on leadership issues, you know, how to break the 200 barrier or some other made-up concept.
Yeah.
And yet to find a pastor's conference or even a retreat where pastors can go to learn how to exegete the Word of God or learn about the book of Hebrews or learn rightly dividing the word of truth, whatever it is, it's just impossible because pastors aren't doing it today. And we desperately need some pastor theologians. I think this, by the way, is one of the reasons, I'm giving you far more than you asked, but it's one of the reasons why churches are losing doctrinal identity and denominational identity, leading to an ecumenicism that's really undoing the Reformation and removing all distinctions in any brand of Christianity. And those things all come up when you look in your church history. They all came up because there were doctrinal differences, but unfortunately, pastors just are not that keenly aware of theological doctrinal issues today.
Yes, you're absolutely right, and I give a hearty and 1,000 amens to that too, Pastor Randy. I think the general feeling or thought is today that pastors come out of seminary already trained how to do that, but that's just not the case, is it?
Yes, unfortunately, it's not the case at all. In
yes.
fact, in many seminaries and Bible colleges across the country, they come out with some leadership skills and some ideas on church growth, maybe a little bit of church history, but their exegetical skills not only are poor to begin with, but even the manner in which they're taught to preach is a manner I remember 30 years ago going to seminary. Even at that time, we were taught to, you know, to find a hook, find some felt need and preach to that felt need. I suppose for 100 years, pastors have been taught to take the scripture and give explanation, illustration, and application. And we were graded by, did we explanation, illustration, application, did we give it all? And what that did is force a lot of pastors to spend their time coming up with some cute illustration, some story they could give, or some joke they could tell, or something that would make people cry or laugh or whatever, and spend time trying to find some application instead of spending their time trying to understand the Word of God and help other people understand the Word of God. And I'm just such a believer that if I can help people know what God's Word says, then they're going to illustrate it and apply it in 10,000 ways that I would never think of. And I just think a pastor ought to teach the Bible. There's a lot of times I have to give kind of a disclaimer, I'd say, to a sermon, and that is that someone will come in, and because the church is so used to topical preaching today, I have to say, now you're going to go home and you're going to say, what did the pastor preach on? And what I want you to do is say, he preached on Mark chapter 8. That's what he preached on. And
yeah.
I know now what Mark chapter 8 says. And that knowledge is actually what people in the church need today. You know, there's a famine for the Word of God.
Yes, Yes, Amos chapter 8, I believe it. It says that. Yeah, and I was chuckling because people that listen to this program, Pastor Randy, and that know me beyond this program and as a pastor, I have said it was almost like you were reading my mind, because what you said was like, man, I couldn't have said it any differently, certainly not any better. There is an issue today, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to mention that I just released a book and the title, Pastor Randy, was Make the Pulpit Great Again, MTPGA, 12 Things Christians Can Do Right Now. And the premise is exactly what we're talking about, that churches have gone south on us because the pulpits have gone south on us, and pastors don't understand or don't see or don't know how to actually teach the Word of God so that God's people will know what they just sat through and learned. When you're teaching on a passage of Scripture, they should be able to tell you after the service and beyond exactly what that passage of Scripture said. And so I appreciate you sharing that, because that is so, so very true.
That is. And, I think that the laymen in the pew, laymen and women and boys and girls, are really hungry to know what the Bible says.
Yes.
And they have grown so weary of cute stories and illustrations and, go get them tiger sermons.
Yes.
They're looking for the Word and wanting the Word. And I found, even many times, and I'm sure you have found the same, that it's the layman often, if you want to have a good biblical conversation, sit down with a layman.
Yes,
because they're studying the Word.
Yes.
And if you ask a pastor too many times, if you ask a pastor a theological question, they'll sort of look at you like a cow at a new gate, and what's going on here? I don't know. They'll say, we don't get into those details around here because we're just trying to love God and love others.
Yes.
And they'll make it sound spiritual, but the truth is they don't have a clue about some of the theological issues. And the laymen do.
Yes.
And they're hungry for even more.
Yes, amen, amen. And that encourages me to tell our listeners this, Pastor Randy. If you're in a fellowship, a body of believers, a local church, and we've just described what happens in your Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday or whatever day you meet, if we've just described your experience, and I want you to do a couple of things. First of all, I want you to go and encourage your pastor. Don't go berate him. Don't go attack him. Don't put him on the defensive, but go encourage him and help him to see what's really needed. And that is the clear and concise teaching of the Word of God. It is the very food that the sheep need. So go to your pastor and encourage him in that direction. And then, guys, suggest, because I can tell you as a pastor, if you come to him and say, well, I think you should be doing this, or I think you should do this, how about if you go to him and say, hey, how about if we start a men's Bible study or a men's discipleship group? I'll even lead it. You don't have to lead it, Pastor. I'll lead this discipleship group, and let's take all the men of the church that will come. Let's take them through a course of study. Let's start with the basics of biblical interpretation. Let's do a study on hermeneutics, and let's teach the men how to rightly interpret, divide the Scripture, and then let's practice on delivering teachings, and let's really sharpen each other so that this church is supported by men who know the Scriptures. How about if we do that? What do you think of that, Pastor Randy?
Amen. I think that a few pastors may be scared of that, honestly, but what a difference it would make if churches actually had Bible studies. And too often what they have today is book studies that they call Bible studies.
Yes.
And learn the Scripture, I'm often asked, how do you study the Bible? And I give an answer that is a little, sometimes even takes them back a little bit. I say, well, study the Bible just like you study a biology book. That's how to study it.
yeah.
And the reason that takes takes them back is because they expect something mystical and spiritual that, you know, you close your eyes, you sit with a blank pad of paper waiting for God to speak to you from heaven. And I say, just like a biology book, so that you can pass the test and knowing what a spleen is and a gizzard is and all the various parts, that you would be able to explain the content of the Bible.
Yes.
And that makes such a world of difference. When a person becomes a biblical expert, that person makes good decisions. They walk in the Spirit. They honor the Lord. They lead other people to Christ. They raise good children best as you can in this world in which we live. And spend your life learning what the Bible says.
Yes.
And put aside the other stuff and just be blessed to know what the Bible says.
Yes, amen. Well, and I know that you what you just said, you take that seriously. And so on, folks, you can visit randywhiteministries.org, randywhiteministries.org, and you're going to get a lot of information. I'm looking at that homepage right now, Pastor Randy, under the courses tab, and you actually offer training and courses for folks that are interested, don't you?
We do, and they're all free and video-based with some little simple quizzes afterwards just to make sure that you know what you heard. And then we, under the live broadcast button, we have several times a week in which there's live teachings. And the bread and butter of the ministry, I would say, is our Thursday night Bible study, which is at 8 p.m. Central Time. And we just go really almost word by word through, for example, right now we're in 1 Corinthians, and we've been 23 or 24 weeks in 1 Corinthians, and we just take it and try to figure out, you know, what does 1 Corinthians say?
Yes.
How do you put together some of these issues and doctrinally put it together? And not only does it teach a person who is involved what, for example, 1 Corinthians says, but by doing that a few weeks, a person catches on to, oh, this is how I do Bible study. I can do this myself.
Yes.
And I know I can begin to take, if a person's got a Bible and a Strong's Concordance, they can do a whole lot of Bible study right there.
That's right. That's for sure. And you said something that might have startled some folks, certainly not regular listeners to the program, but you said that you study it word by word. Do you mean to tell me that you study 1 Corinthians and you start in chapter 1 at verse 1 and you read and discuss and study and interpret every verse as you're reading through it?
Every verse, and often within those verses, you know, there are some very important words and concepts that we look at and begin to take it apart and look at that. For example, right in 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul says he's called to be an apostle. We talk about that word call. And, I think that there's been something the last, 50, 100 years, I suppose, has been taught about a call to ministry, that a person feels like they have to have some sort of mystical call. They were out in the woods and God spoke to them in a still small voice or whatever it is. And yet the word called, it's a descriptive word. It's not a verb. It just means, this is what they call me.
Yeah.
They call me an apostle. And it's not the word for elect. It is, this is my role. I'm an apostle. And we go through some of those things. What does it mean to be called by the will of God? Who Sosthenes, our brother? And looking at all those things so that we can begin to take that and when it's all done, know really very much what the book of 1 Corinthians says or the book of Romans or whatever it may be.
Yes, yeah. And one of the advantages of that, of course, is that you can't skirt any verses that might be considered difficult or perhaps a little controversial or taken out of context. If you're reading and studying everything breaking it down and understanding it, then it really does help you to understand the context and to straighten out some of the twisted doctrine today, doesn't it, Pastor Randy?
It does. In fact, I have to say that's really my testimony, because I was for many years a Southern Baptist pastor, just fat and sassy. And as I read the Word of God, verse by verse and precept by precept, I began to realize, you know what, some of the stuff that I have been preaching, or I might say parroting, it just doesn't line up with the Bible. It lined up with Southern Baptist teaching, but it sure didn't line up with the Bible. And that's a crisis when you're a Southern Baptist pastor. And
yeah,
so,
yeah.
The Word of God cuts all the way to the, division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow.
Yes.
And it's sometimes hard, in fact, so hard that some people, when they get into the verse-by-verse Bible study and it begins to do this, it scares them so much, they honestly leave it and go back to just a tickle-my-ears kind of sermon.
Yeah.
Just by the grace of God, I didn't do that, and I kept going through, and it totally changed who I am as a pastor, really, what I preach, where I'm associated, and all of these things that take place, and that it'll do it to anyone when they begin to study the Word.
That's for sure, Pastor Randy. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth brings great comfort and peace and joy and just a confidence and a settled assurance of who God is, I think.
Amen. It really settles the world around us.
Yes.
And understanding the world around us, and to realize, even as I mentioned a moment ago about the calling, to realize I didn't have to have this mystical calling. I just desired the office of a bishop, as King James says in First Timothy, and this is okay. This works with the Word of God.
Yes.
And it's the idea of some sort of mystical call or 10,000 other things, illustrations we could give, is just something that the church has taught, not that the Bible has taught.
Yes, yes, absolutely true. Yeah. Well, you also have an internet-based program that is titled Ask the Pastor. And you have folks that call in or send you questions, and you discuss these questions and then a biblical response. And you've been doing that for several years now, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. And I do it live every Tuesday morning at 11 a.m. Central Time and noon Eastern. And it is internet-based. YouTube.com/RandyWhite is where they can find it, as well as all of our other Bible teachings are there at YouTube.com/RandyWhite. But we take both live questions that come by people who log in to YouTube and to send them in by chat, or they can send the question to RandyWhiteMinistries.org. And honestly, it's getting to where I have far more questions. I went from 30 minutes to an hour, and now I really need to go to 5 days a week because I can't handle the volume of questions that's coming in. And they're excellent questions, worldview questions, doctrinal questions, that just encourages me, because people really are asking deep questions about the Scriptures and about the work of the Lord in our world today.
Yeah, and that is very encouraging, actually, to hear that, Pastor Randy, because, sometimes we can just be overly critical or pessimistic about the church, about the body of Christ, about believers in general. But God is always faithful to maintain and to provide for, to cause to persevere, to enable to persevere a remnant of believers, isn't he?
The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and there's just always going to be that group of people that do, even no matter how sick the church gets, they're they're going to open up the Word of God. As long as the Word of God's available, the Word of God is always going to do its work.
Yes.
The pastor may not do his work, and the church may not do his work, and the denomination may not do his work, but the Word of God is going to do its work. And we can always be encouraged by that.
Yes, amen, amen. Well, one of the things that's near and dear to me, listeners are familiar with this, is dispensational theology. So let's chat about dispensational publishing. You started that in 2015. What pushed you over the edge, or pushed you to that goal to start this? What was the need that you saw?
You know, I did not grow up, nor was I educated, nor did I spend the first 15 years, at least, of my ministry as a dispensationalist. I spent it as a sloppy, poor theologian who didn't know what he was doing. But, but when I began to read the Word of God and began to read it literally, it did so much in my life to change my life and my thinking and my worldview. And later, in fact, I can remember to this day, I preached in a seminary chapel service, and someone came and asked me afterwards. It was a professor there, said, "Did you graduate?" And he mentioned from a seminary. And I said, "No, I didn't graduate there, never been there." He said, "Well, you preach like someone from there." I was so oblivious that I didn't know why I preached to someone like their side, but it caught my ear, and I went and checked it out, and I realized, oh, this is a historically dispensational school.
Yes.
And I began to read some of their stuff, and I thought, why didn't somebody tell me this was out here ahead of time? I could have saved myself so much trouble. This is the conclusion I've come to. And then I began to realize that everything that was teaching and promoting the conclusions I had come to were 50 years old or 100 years old. And all the new stuff that was coming out in publishing simply was not dispensational. And it's even hard to find a publisher who is interested in preaching biblical rather than practical theology.
True.
And so I just, when I had the opportunity, I just decided, you know what, I want dispensationalism and dispensational writers and teachers to have a place to get their stuff published, for one, and then to begin to work together to put out some material that really can give the church some health, instead of, again, the mile wide and inch deep kind of stuff that is so often found in Christian bookstores.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I when I learned that you had done that, I rejoiced, because you're right. It's increasingly difficult today, especially with the major publishers. They're all going what I call for the cotton candy content. They don't seem to want to really publish anything that has any depth or will challenge readers to study or read a book with a pen and notepad right next to the book. They seem to shy away from that, and I think that's to the great tragedy for the church that these kinds of books are not being published today. So I applaud you for doing that, Pastor Randy. So folks can find that where? Where would they go?
That is dispensationalpublishing.com, dispensationalpublishing.com. And if a listener doesn't know how to spell dispensational, that's a good place to begin in your growth of the Bible.
Yes.
learn how to spell it, and it will teach you what it is.
Yes.
And then it really will open up to the point that you will begin to say, this is so simple. It was right in front of my eyes the whole time. Why didn't I see it?
Yes.
And it removes the contradictions that come from Scripture. And I don't even say seeming contradictions anymore, as preachers often were taught to do.
Yes.
In spiritualizing it. They're not seeming contradictions. They are contradictions.
Yeah.
They're mutually exclusive. And yet when you're a dispensationalist and you can divide those things out and put them to a different audience in a different time and understand the context of it, then all of a sudden the scripture just begins to make perfect sense, and it becomes alive, and people who have begun to understand this kind of framework of the scripture are the people who love to study the Bible verse by verse. I taught the book of Numbers once, verse by verse, and nobody does that.
That's
but it's right. When you're not trying to pull application from it, if you're trying to apply everything, then you skip huge chunks of the Old Testament, especially because they just don't seem that applicable.
Yes.
But when you realize, hey, this is foundational to who we are today, what a beautiful difference it makes. So dispensationalpublishing.com, we've got books that we publish on there and some other great dispensational classics and resources as well that people can order and trust that what they're going to get is going to be solidly biblical.
Yes, absolutely. Amen. And just in case any of our listeners, Pastor Randy, are they do not know what dispensationalism teaches, could you give them a quick primer, just a, 60 seconds? Here's what dispensational is. And I know right at the top of the list, it starts with a consistently literal interpretation of the scriptures, which was to your point, we don't have to force an application out of every text. We just need to understand what it says.
That's right. And if a listener, by the way, wants more than the 60 seconds I'm about to give, they can imagine if they'll just Google Randy White Understanding Dispensations. I've got, I believe it's a 12-week series out there.
Oh, perfect.
Randy White Understanding Dispensations, I think, would lead them to it on our YouTube channel. But, what dispensationalism is, again, let's read the Bible literally. And you realize as you read the Bible literally that there are a few places in Scripture where something happened, some revelation typically from God happened that was so fundamental that it changed, literally it changed man's relationship to God, the way man would be right with God, the way man would walk with God. And as you read the Bible, it wouldn't take a rocket science. A child could do this, just read through the Bible and sort of make a mark where here's something that's brand new and it, again, fundamentally changes everything. For example, you read the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, and that fits together in a perfect harmony. And then you get into chapter 3, and things fundamentally change. Man is no longer walking with God in the cool of the day. Man is outside of the garden. Man is living in a cursed world, not a very good world, not a perfect world. And you look at that, and if you're analyzing it at all in your mind, you're saying, this is so different that if I live my life thinking I'm in the Garden of Eden and I try to apply Garden of Eden principles, first of all, I'm going to get very chilly and probably arrested. And there's going to be so much more that I misapply because I think this is still a Garden of Eden existence. The truth is, it's not. And now I live in a world that is cursed, a world that is under sin and death and suffering, a world that produces thorns, a world in which there's a separation from God. And you can go on again. There's these fundamental places. You would get into the book of Exodus. I'm skipping several, but you'd get into the book of Exodus, and you would find now God has given a law, 10 commandments and others that wasn't there before. And all of a sudden, the people that God had chosen for himself earlier in the scriptures, they're now required to do some things that they were not previously required to do. It was a revelation that changed everything. And when you divide these out don't mix them together, what you find is this is where the Word of God harmonizes. Yes. But it's when I try to pull some from the law and some from grace and some from the Garden of Eden and mix it all together and pick and choose, that's when we end up with such a theological soup and such a mess of our faith.
Yes, yes, amen. That's a great explanation, and I think it probably resonates with our listeners, Pastor Randy, because if there's one thing that characterizes the modern-day church in America, it is mass confusion, and I don't say that gleefully. I'm actually sad to have to say that, but what comes out of the pulpit in many places today is just a very well, it's just a mess. Let me put it that way. It's just a mess. So, in your opinion, Pastor Randy, what are some of the things that we need to be doing as pastors, as biblical theologians? What are some of the things that we can be doing today to shepherd God's people and get things turned around and headed in the right direction? Or let me even allow you to respond this way. Is that even possible in your opinion?
Well, it is certainly any pastor, it is possible to change the way their congregation thinks. In fact, I often say as a pastor, you know, my job is to change the way you think.
Yeah.
I'm here to get you to think biblically.
Yes.
And I know of no better way to help a group of people, whether it's 10 or 15, 20 people, or 10 or 15,000 people, to help a group of people think biblically than for them to know the scripture. And so if I can, if any pastor can begin to train their pastor to say, I may have been giving you lots of application and trying to find a hook, a felt need, all these things before that I've done because I've been taught these things, but I want to change, and I want you to be an expert on the book of Ephesians, on the historical changes that took place in the book of Acts, on the life of the ministry of Jesus, and I just want you to have the content of these things. I think that you'll find, even within a matter of months, that people's lives will be changed forever in the way that they think. Now, I'll have to warn them also, you may get kicked out of the pastoral guild or because it's not really popular to do that today. And there'll be a few in the church as well that don't want that because they've come to like the cotton candy.
Yes, that's
and,
true.
You know, it won't be an easy transition or an easy journey in many churches. Now, some churches have a history and a heritage, and some associations and networks and denominations have a heritage of Bible preaching, and those is going to be a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not where American society is today. So it is going to be a challenge and a difficulty. But I would say start right there in the local congregation and just change to where you're doing Bible study. If you're scared to do it from the pulpit, get a group of five or six men together and say we're going to meet, you know, Tuesdays for breakfast and I'm going to do some Bible study, or Thursdays on lunch, or what,
yes,
you know, wherever it is. And we're just going to do content-based Bible study. It'll make a difference.
It sure will. And what you just described sound a lot like the great commission that Christ gave us to make disciples of all the nations, teaching them what Christ taught the apostles. That is, and so maybe that's a good question. So here's a caller, Pastor Randy, and he has called in, asked the theologian, and he wants to know what's the big deal about doctrine? Why should we preach or teach? Why should we care about doctrine? Aren't we supposed to just all get along and just love Jesus, and won't that just take care of everything else?
Well, no, actually it won't, because how in the world are we even going to be able to walk a journey together if we don't even, for example, understand who Christ is?
Mm-hmm.
Was he born of a virgin? If not, he's fundamentally different. If I believe he's born of a virgin and you do not, which is obviously not the case, Pastor, but mm-hmm. if we have a different view on the virgin birth, all of a sudden we've got a completely different Christ.
Yes.
If I believe that he's eternal and you do not, how can we walk together in Christ if we can't even come to an identity of Christ? And
yes.
How are we going to come to an identity of Christ if we don't determine where we're going to know Christ from? Are
yes.
we going to say, you know, what's Jesus like to you? Or are we going to say, what saith the word?
Yes.
And look into the word of God. So all of these are doctrinal issues where now I've got the doctrine of scripture, the doctrine of revelation and inspiration. I've got the doctrine of Christ and, you know, his virgin birth. And of course, we'll get into his life and his death. And these things just really are fundamental, again, to any kind of ability to have a unity together. Now, I hope we can come from the beginning and say, you know what? I want to serve Christ and love him, and you want to serve Christ and love him. Let's realize that all things cannot be true. And let's go to the Word of God and agree together. The Word of God will be our source and our standard.
Yes.
And that's where we will, we're just going to go in on an issue like salvation. For example, the plan of salvation, God's grace. Let's go into the Word of God and let's study it. And let's determine. Who can be saved? How is a person saved? And all these other issues. And whatever it may be to determine, the Word of God is going to be our meeting point. And we'll work from there. That means oftentimes one or both of us, perhaps, is going to be wrong.
Yes.
But we don't agree the Word is right.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Perfect response. Yeah, that's exactly right. We could both be wrong, but the Word's always going to be right. So that has to be the focus and the center. Absolutely. So speaking of education, why don't we discuss, tell our listeners about Darby Academy. I find this very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, thank you. The John Nelson Darby Academy, and it's JN Darby. .org. The Darby Academy is something I started just a year ago, actually, and it is an online educational opportunity for 3rd through the 12th grade. It's a great deal for those who would like homeschooling and yet also would like a little help, someone to have their curriculum and make the assignments and to help in the grading and these things. Some homeschoolers, moms and dads are all in and say, we want to do it all, and I applaud them for that. And others say, I'm new to all this. I don't know what to do. And the Darby Academy is something that we started for a couple of reasons. One is that the public schools, in my opinion, have such an agenda behind them.
Yes.
That more and more Christians are realizing that even if I have in my community a healthy set of teachers and public school system, the whole agenda is moving the thing where I'm not comfortable going. So I need something else. Well, then the private schools and the private Christian schools, many times they have a theology which I don't hold, which is a covenant theology and I'm not a Calvinist, and they're Calvinistic-based theology, and so much about the Word of God that doesn't theologically agree with me. So where does someone who's a dispensationalist, who wants to study the Word of God, line by line, and wants theology to be doctrinally sound in that way, where do they go for an education? So we started the John Nelson Darby Academy, and have had really great success with our first year students, and would just be delighted to talk to anyone about that, and they can just contact me at randy@randywhiteministries.org if they have a question about that. Or again, just Google the John Nelson Darby Academy.
Yes, there you have it. And I asked that question because we have several homeschool families in our fellowship, Pastor Randy, and I know of several other homeschool families in this area. And this is an up and coming and growing method of providing good, solid, biblically based online education for our children. So, folks, I encourage you to check that out. You can go to randywhiteministries.org. There's a tab there for Darby Academy, or you can go directly to jndarbyacademy, I think, .org, wasn't it, Pastor Randy?
It's .org, yes.
Yeah, .org, and check out all that information right there. Any conferences or any kind of events that you'd like to mention to our listeners? I see that you had one last October, and you had Dr. William Watson, whom I've had on the show and had the pleasure of meeting a couple of years ago in Colorado Springs. Brilliant man, done a lot of wonderful research. Any conferences coming up?
We have several. First of all, that he was invited to our Taos Prophecy Conference, and that one will be the first weekend in October. We're working together and putting really a great conference. Our desire is to sort of rebuild some of the great Bible conferences and prophecy conferences, the Niagara Conference of 100 years ago, that really shaped, I start to say shaped a generation, but they shaped several generations in those the Bible conference movements.
Yes.
And I would love to see that happen again. And Taos happens to be a beautiful place in the Rockies, with filled with history and art and beauty and aspens that change colors, and it's all the beautiful things that you want, plus great Bible teaching. So
yes.
if anyone wants a fall vacation, that's a good one. But probably a little more central to many people, we have over Labor Day weekend a Bible conference retreat in Branson. And that information is available at randywhiteministries.org as well. I believe it's the retreat button. And I have put out two. This will be my third book of charts and graphs, we'll call it. I did the Bible graphically presented, and then the ministry of Jesus graphically presented. This year we're going to do the prophets graphically presented. And it's 3 days of solid Bible, back-to-back Bible teaching, just hour after hour, honestly. But we have such a great time, and look at these charts and graphs and sort of get a picture of, in this case, it'll be the major and the minor prophets and the things that are prophesied yet to come, and prophecies that have been fulfilled. And so would invite any of the listeners to that. And in December, I have a great trip of the Holy Land and the seven churches as well on this. I go at least once a year to the Holy Land, and just love teaching the Word of God there, where it all becomes 3D.
Oh, neat. Yeah, for sure. So are there any spaces available on that Holy Land tour?
There are spaces available, and the tour is, I want to say, $4,100 or somewhere right around there. It is the 3rd through the 15th of December, I believe. And our tours are all-inclusive, by the way. You get your lunch included, and your airplane ticket, and great hotels, and all the entrance fees and everything. You can leave your wallet at home if you want to. I've been doing these for, this is probably my about 20th time or so. And
wow.
It is just so exciting to be there and to see all of that right in front of you. And I've not had a disappointed participant yet.
No, that's saying something in 20 years. So these one other question about the retreat, Pastor Randy, that's going to be in Branson, August 31st through September the 2nd. Will there be live streaming available, first of all?
Probably not, and that's we live stream almost everything we do, but that one we have some internet issues, so that does go up the next week. They're able to watch it online afterward.
Okay.
And we've got, I know last year's conference is online already, the Ministry of Jesus graphically presented, and probably the year before as well, the Bible graphically presented. So they are available online, but not live.
Okay. If folks were interested in getting DVDs of all the sessions, are those available?
They're not. Someday we may make them available. We are a shoestring budget kind of ministry, and so we don't always spend the time that it takes for production of DVDs.
Well, I certainly understand that, Pastor Randy. We've chatted before, I pastor a very small church here in West Central Ohio, and those kinds of things are just beyond our means, but we do. And I appreciate that you put these presentations and teachings up on the internet. So, folks, you can avail yourself of those. And I would also encourage you to go to Pastor Randy's YouTube channel, youtube.com/RandyWhite, and you can find all kinds of very, very good teaching, educational type, biblically based teaching there. So, Pastor Randy, I appreciate you and your ministry, we'll chat a little bit offline But I think we'll call this a wrap.
Well, what a blessing to be with you and Soaring Eagle Radio. I've followed you on Twitter for maybe several years now, and just always appreciated the ministry that you have there in Ohio and stretching around the world through the internet. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much for joining me.
Amen. Thank you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, Pastor Mike at woh.rr.